God is good.
Amen.
Amen. That's just the warm-up. Andy, now it's over to you. Okay.
Good morning, everyone. If you want to stand up and have a stretch, please do. God is good, isn't he? Yeah. Don't we enjoy the sunshine when it comes out? I do. I'll be speaking this morning on Ephesians 1. I think it ties in quite nicely with what's been said already. Can you hear me all right? Good. In a university in Ireland, in a Christian union, gathering a student the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. And after reading, she closed the Bible and she looked at her friend. And she paused, thinking deeply. And then she said, "Is that really true? Is that really true? If that is..." Interesting, isn't it? At our Wednesday prayer meeting this week, we were praying that we would have the light of God in our lives. And 1 John 1, 5-7 says, "If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." God is light. In him there's no shadow of darkness. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Praise God. Prepared to let his light, his truth, transform your life? That's the question for all of us, isn't it? Are we willing to let that light come into our hearts, his truth work in our hearts to transform us? So, if this Bible's really true, it changes everything. And that everything includes us. So let's pray, shall we? Father God, we just pray, Lord, that you will illuminate, Lord, your word to us today. Lord, let your truth transform us, transform our lives. Lord, help us, Lord, to take hold of everything that you have for each one of us. In the name of Jesus, amen. So let's read this passage. I'm intrigued. I was intrigued when I read that story about that student. And so let's read Ephesians 1 together. Turn in your Bibles, Ephesians 1, and I'm just going to read the first 14 verses. So it says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God and Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purposes of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. What a wonderful passage that is. I just love that passage. And we got Paul, the Apostle Paul, was writing to the church, the faithful believers in Ephesus. It was a church he knew well. He founded this church. And here we are, many years later, in Bradford and Avon. And this message to the Ephesians is also a message to us. We are the continuation of that church. And I believe God this morning is just pointing this out to us. He's reinforcing this through the songs that we've sung this morning, through the words that we've had. So to God's holy people here in Bradford and Avon, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from our God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. Now, you might not be part of that family of faithful believers. You know, this passage is directed at both believers and it's directed at both unbelievers too. Later in the chapter, Paul prays that we might have our hearts enlightened to this hope to which we have been called. He prays that as believers, we would know the reality of his incomparable power in our lives. This is not a dead religion, is it? This is the power of God in our lives. And in this passage, we have this wonderful picture of the Trinity at work. And we sung that in our songs this morning. God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God the Holy Spirit of God. In verse 3, Paul starts with praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's so good for us to praise the Lord. And we give praise as a reflection of all that he is and all that he's done. And as we gain more and more revelation of who he is, we cannot help but praise him. We overflow with praise. We were made to know him. We were made to worship him. Dear believers in Bradford-on-Avon, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Your names are known in heaven. Your names are known in heaven. Why? Because in Christ, you are citizens of heaven. He has made you worthy. He has made me worthy. Praise God. And you have full access to the very throne room of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that mind-blowing? Praise the Lord. I remember working on a project on the logistics planning team for the Olympic Games back in 2012. And as part of that, I had a desk at Canary Wharf in London. And traveling, you imagine me traveling from Wiltshire on a train, I had this bizarre experience of walking into this office for my induction tour around the Barclays Tower in Canary Wharf. And it was just a surreal experience. Here's your pass. Here's your desk area. Here's the stationery cupboard. Help yourself. And I was now citizen of a whole new kingdom. You know, my expectation was that I was just a visitor. I was just there on a job, on an assignment. But no, I was granted full access to a new kingdom overlooking the city of London. And the invitation was, stay as long as you like. You belong here. Here's your pass. You have full access. Help yourself. You might find it hard to believe that you are part of this kingdom, that this is your kingdom, that you belong in this kingdom. Let's read on. We start with the Father in verse 4. For he, the Father, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. I don't know about you, but that takes a bit of taking in, doesn't it? Meditate on that verse. He chose us in him before the creation of the world. And his intention is that you are to be holy and blameless in his sight. Just imagine that in the sight of God, in the sight of the all-knowing, the all-seeing God who has been there from before time, we are to be holy and blameless without blame. Isn't that amazing? That's his intention. You are so special to God. Image, creator of the entire universe, he says that he chose you and that you and him will be holy and blameless. And I just want that to go in this morning. And Paul goes on to say that in love, he, the Father, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and his will. You ain't no accident. He chose you. He predestined you. He chose you for a pre-planned purpose. And that purpose was not to cut the grass on planet Earth. His desire for us is to be much more than just caretakers. He didn't create us just to do the jobs, the menial stuff, to be his servants. He created us to have a relationship with him for his pleasure and by his will. And that relationship that we have is one of adoption to sonship. What does that mean? In Paul's day, in the Roman world, the term adoption, it had a real powerful legal meaning. It was a transaction. The adopted person would literally start a whole new life. Nothing of the old life was valid anymore. The old name was gone. Any debts had been cancelled. A whole new identity was created. And the transaction was sealed with the payment of a ransom. And from that day on, The new life, the new identity, was all that there was. What a picture that is of what Jesus has done for us when he paid for our sins on the cross. He paid our ransom price in full so that we can be adopted to sonship, that we can have this new life, sons and daughters of the living God. Amen? Is this really true? Is this true for you? The promise of a new life, a new identity, a new relationship with God. Yes, the Father really loves you. And that is his plan for you, that you would know him. That is why we praise him. No longer a slave held captive to sin, but adopted as a son, as a daughter of the living God. Our names are known in heavenly realms. Praise God. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves. Who is the one he loves? Jesus. Jesus, his precious son. Jesus, God's son, was freely given for you so that you might know the Father's love, so that you might belong to this heavenly family. And he held nothing back to make you holy and blameless in his sight. And Father God freely gave this his one and only son, Jesus, for you. As we look at verse 7, it says, in him, Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished upon us. And I just love that word, lavished. This ain't no half-hearted love. This ain't no partial solution to our greatest problem of sin. This is redemption. This is the debt has been paid in full. This is forgiveness out of an abundance of his grace and his mercy. This is love expressed in the person of Jesus Christ. He came down from heaven, heavenly glory, to carry a cross, willingly lay down everything, even his own life, so that we might know the love of God. Is this really true? Is it true for you? Did Jesus die for your sins? Did he pay your debt in full? Yes, Jesus loves you. He really does. And even before we were born, it says that he made full provision for each one of us. He died and was raised up from the dead so that we can know the Father's love. Let's skip forward, shall we, to verse 13. And we've got the third person of the Trinity. We've got the Holy Spirit. And it says, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Here is where the rubber hits the road. You were included in Christ when you heard the truth of the gospel. Salvation comes from hearing the truth and then acting upon it. And we've had some encouragement this morning, haven't we, to act upon the truth that we hear. Believe in Jesus Christ and that his sacrifice on the cross was made for you. Turn from your sin and accept his free gift of salvation and forgiveness. And when we believe, then a whole new life begins. Adopted as a child of God. He gives us new life, a new spirit, his own Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Praise God. So we are changed, we are transformed, we are born again. Life will never be the same again. Is this true? Is this really true? Is it really true? Is it true for you? Have you taken this step? You know, we could be hearers, can't we? But have you taken this step to believe in Jesus Christ? And yes, this is true. This is a free gift. And the Holy Spirit is a mark, is a sign, a witness to the new identity that we now have in him. And what's beautiful is there's three witnesses to this transaction. We'll just talk through them briefly. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they all say that you are chosen, you are loved, and you are adopted into a new family. You are a citizen of a heavenly kingdom, and you are sealed, ready for the day of his return. Isn't that wonderful? And this, you know, may feel a little strange. We are being born into this world, a natural world, a world we can touch, we can feel. We've been brought up in its culture and its practice, a culture that doesn't recognize God. Until we see the light, we are spiritually dead, we're blind. This, however, is God's picture. He is the God of all truth, God of both the spiritual and the natural. And he has enlightened the eyes of our hearts to reveal himself to us. And he has placed eternity in our hearts. Do you know, as I walked out of that tower in London, Barclays Tower, after my induction day, it was really strange. A new world had been opened up to me. And all I had was this badge around my neck that says, you know, that just reminded me of that special access that I had. I could go in there. As believers, it's easy for us to forget sometimes who we are. Who we are in Christ. He has bought us at such a great cost to grant us our citizenship, our access to the heavenly realms, access to the Father, access to the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What price can we put on this? Our salvation. Talking about that herb. All may know this relationship with God. He wants to know all of us. This is the good news of the gospel. This gift of salvation is there for all who choose to believe and put their trust in Jesus. If you've not yet made this choice, then the way is open. Know this, the way is open for you to know what it is to be adopted into his kingdom. He's made that provision. Is this really true? Yes. No longer dead in our sins, but made alive with Christ. He will change everything, and he does change everything. We have a new purpose for living and an everlasting hope for the future. To finish, I'd just like to read this passage one more time. And I'm going to read it from the J.B. Phillips translation. And I just love this, the way it puts these verses. So we're just going to read this through. Just listen. Praise be to God for giving us, through Christ, every possible spiritual benefit as citizens of heaven. For consider what he has done. Before the foundation of the world, he chose us to become, in Christ, his holy and blameless children, living within his constant care. He planned in his purpose of love that we should be adopted as his own children through Jesus Christ, that we might learn to praise that glorious generosity of his, which has made us welcome in the everlasting love he bears towards the Son. It is through the Son, at the cost of his own blood, that we are redeemed, freely forgiven, through that full and generous grace which has overflowed into our lives and opened our eyes to the truth. For God had allowed us to know the secret of his plan. And it is this: he purposes in his sovereign will that all human history shall be consummated in Christ, that everything that exists in heaven or in earth shall find its perfection and its fulfillment in him. And here's the staggering thing: that in all which will one day belong to him, we have been promised a share. Since we were long ago destined for this by the one who achieves his purposes by his sovereign will, so that we, as the first to put our confidence in Christ, may bring praise to his glory. And you too trusted him when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. And after you gave your confidence to him, you were, so to speak, stamped with the promised Holy Spirit as a guarantee of purchase until the day when God completes the redemption of what he has paid for as his own. And that will again be to the praise of his glory. It's a lot to take in, isn't it? But I encourage you just to reflect on this passage. Read it back, Ephesians 1, first 14 verses, and put your full confidence in him. He will not let you down. Amen.
Well, thanks, Andy. I promise you I had no idea what Andy was going to say, or God is speaking to us this morning. So, you know, if it's raised questions in yourselves that you just want a bit of clarification on, come and see us, come and talk. Don't walk out of here sort of not doing something about it. God is good to us. His grace is amazing. And he's there for each and every one of us. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your time, your words to us this morning. I thank you that we can spend time with you, that we can hear what it is you have to say. I thank you, Father, for your love for us. I thank you, Father, that that love is outside time. That just that small snippet that we're here is so important that we make the right decisions. And I pray, Father, you'd help us to have the courage to make those right decisions. I thank you, Lord, for all your grace and all your love and all your mercy upon us. And I pray, Father, that this week would be a truly amazing week. I thank you for the better weather, but I pray, Lord Jesus, that there would be an improvement in our walk with you too, Lord, that we would just know the closeness of Almighty God. I thank you, Lord, that you've said you would never leave us nor forsake us, but I pray that we would be far more aware of the truth of those words. So I ask your blessing on each and every one of us this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Angus just wanted to remind everybody that there's Bible study on Tuesday looking at the book of Romans, okay, and prayer on Wednesday for those that can make it. Lovely. Thank you. Enjoy fellowship, cup of coffee, and do come and see us if you want to ask, seek.